I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. The John Murphy Show and the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on the Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Only the best and brightest, Gene. That's who we talk to here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Guys that know their stuff. Talk some Buffalo Bills football with Chris Trapasso, editor-in-chief at Buffalo Rumblings. Good to talk to you, buddy. How you been?
I've been pretty good. How about you guys?
Chris, doing great here. It's the time of year that might be the quietest here around the NFL, so we're only a month away from the start of training camp out at St. John Fisher College. The Bills roster right now at 89. Could be a 90, so why wouldn't the Bills bring in just another body to give them a look? Or are they holding that spot open and making a clear overture to somebody right now? What's your read on that?
Yeah, it's a little peculiar. I mean, most teams, at least at this point, I would say the vast majority of the NFL does have 90 players on their roster at this point. I mean, obviously, the main name out there, Gary Barnidge, he visited with the Bills, visited with a few other teams. Do the Bills have a huge need at tight end? Not necessarily, but I think it's a fair argument to say that they do have some need at just the overall pass-catching spot. He's 31, but has been very productive with a carousel of quarterbacks in Cleveland for the past two seasons. It would certainly be a nice compliment to Charles Clay and Nick O'Leary. So he's the guy that's probably the most likely to be that number 90 guy on the Bills roster. But I think when you look just at the Bills overall roster and their depth chart, the safety position to me is the thinnest. I think Micah Hyde is a good versatile safety that fits really well in McDermott's defense. Jordan Poyer is a very good athlete. He was starting to come into his own in Cleveland before his injury last year. But beyond that, the Bills are very thin at safety. There aren't a ton of veteran safeties out there. I've kind of, you know, been talking about Jarris Bird, kind of a reunion there, that not to be a centerpiece of the defense, obviously, at this stage, but someone, his dad is the Bills defensive backs coach now. I think they're just waiting until closer to camp, maybe a week or so into camp before signing that guy, but I would be actually kind of surprised if they go into camp with one open roster spot.
Chris Trapasso, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com, our guest in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Chris, we've spent some time this week talking about the idea that the Bills have actually, this offseason, put themselves in a better salary cap situation, mainly by not making a big splash in free agency and being a little bit disciplined. They've given themselves some flexibility, so much so that some of their higher-end, higher-priced talent could be up for review in about a year next offseason, and my eyes are focused squarely on Marcell Dareus. What about you?
Yeah, I think Marcell Dareus is the headliner there. When you think about just schematically just being a pass-rushing defensive tackle and really one of the most well-rounded defensive tackles in the league, I think that fits perfectly with what Sean McDermott likes to do with, you know, what he did in Carolina, that they were getting it done with, you know, late round picks, veterans in the secondary, guys that were cast offs in other places that had great seasons because the pass rush with that, with those guys up front, kind of like what we saw with Jim Schwartz in 2014, that's kind of Sean McDermott's philosophy on defense. So from that standpoint, I think Marcell Dareus is someone that any coach, especially Sean McDermott, would want. But he's from, you know, a previous regime, of course. I think Sammy Watkins and obviously Tyrod Taylor are the other two big headliners. But you are right in that the Bills, going into 2018, they have about $35 million already, which is right in the middle of the league in terms of cap space. They have the two first-round picks. So looking forward, they are set up pretty nicely. But I do think that Dareus and then obviously Tyrod Taylor and obviously Sammy Watkins are players that are going into the season kind of under review. I think the Bills are expecting big things from those three players and would be happy to extend or pay those three guys, but certainly nothing is set in stone yet, and I think they want to see all three of those guys perform, and not just perform, but perform at a high level.
He's the editor of Buffalo Rumblings, Chris Trapasso, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Chris, with training camp coming, usually it's a player or players I'm interested in watching, and follow me on this. We're talking about Darius. The one person I'm most interested in watching at camp isn't actually a player. It's a coach. Mike Waffle being the coach for Marcell Dareus. Marcell Dareus has been the player that hasn't quite put it all together on the field. If you're a coach, how do you reach through to Marcell Dareus? I don't have the answer to that. I don't know if you have the answer to that. Mike Waffle, to me, is the most interesting assistant coach. And from what I've seen online, Waffle seems, you know, we have a perception of him. Chris, if you could just talk about that, because if Waffle does his job, then maybe we're not having this conversation about letting go Marcell Dareus in a cap move in 2018.
Yeah, I think Mike Waffle seems to be, and there's certainly a lot of hard-nosed disciplinarian head coaches, assistant coaches, coordinators in the NFL, but he is one of the more revered and respected, especially for coaching that defensive line. He was certainly coaching a lot of talent with the Rams over the past couple seasons, but just from Hard Knocks with what we saw last year on HBO, he's a former military guy and is not going to deal with any fooling around, any players taking plays off. And while I haven't thought that that's been an issue with Darius, usually when he's on the field, he's not lazy, but I mean, certainly with off the field stuff, with showing up late for meetings and any other stuff like that, I don't think Waffle will stand for that whatsoever. And if there is anyone that could potentially, you know, light that fire under Darius and, you know, have him operating at max potential all the time, it's probably this defensive coordinator. So I think that's a really good point that even at St. John Fisher, to, you know, just watch how much interaction there is between the two, how hard he's riding Darius, if he, you know, is ultimately, as we get into late August, happy with what Darius is doing, I think then you could really see Darius be in for a huge 2017.
Chris Trapasso, BuffaloRumblings.com, our guest in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Chris, I think it was Bleacher Report. Was it Bleacher Report that had the article that was questioning whether or not the Bills were the second team in the AFC East to potentially be tanking their season?
Yes, and I listen, come on. Because why?
Well,
because
let me ask Chris. I mean, I think we're all so close to it that none of us, you know, we know that what we hear is this team is built to compete in 2017. You've certainly got enough talent, although that talent and depth is paper thin right now. I mean, you're on the razor's edge, one injury or two away from this being a potentially disastrous first year for Sean McDermott. We're all very close to the Buffalo Bills. Chris, you're among those of us who are very close to this team, so we see it through a different lens than an outsider does. And just on paper alone, if you're an outsider, can you make the case, as the New York Jets are, that the Buffalo Bills might be looking forward to that 2018 first round?
I mean, with two first round picks, are they looking forward to it? Probably, and much more so than they had been in a long, long time, just having that extra pick. But I think that's total nonsense, because if the Bills really wanted to try to tank and, you know, compete, so to speak, with the Jets as the team trying hardest to tank, they would not have agreed to even a restructured deal with Tyrod Taylor. They would have let Cardale Jones or T.J. Yates or maybe even Nathan Peterman be that starting quarterback. I think Tyrod Taylor would not be on the roster if the Bills wanted to tank. And really, when you think about it, I think if you ask most Bills fans or even outside media, the Bills' offense was playoff caliber last season. Yeah, there were a few games on the road where Tyrod Taylor wasn't really able to get it going through the air, but their run game was very good. And when most of the offensive skill position players were on the field, the Bills' offense was pretty good. Scored a lot of points, picked up a lot of yards. It was really the defense and everything from miscommunications to just discipline that really led to the Bills consistently not doing what they needed to do on the defensive side that kept them at 7-9, you know, two or three games out of the playoffs. While there's certainly not as much depth as there was on the defensive side, I think that's where the Bills are hoping that just the scheme change, going from a 3-4 to a 4-3, letting the players play a little more freely, will help. But really, on the offensive side, you lose Robert Woods, you get Zay Jones. Is that pretty much a fair trade-off? Probably. I don't think Marquise Goodwin is that big of a subtraction. And I think Mike Gillisley hurt. He was probably the league's best backup running back. But you're returning the entire offensive line. You had a right tackle, which was your weakest spot. I think the offense is of playoff caliber. So I don't buy into this at all that the Bills are going into this season looking ahead to 2018 or 2019. They could have made a few other moves that would have made that much more apparent. I don't think that's the case at all.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Terpasso.
Yeah, I'm just bringing it up because I read it, and I could see from an outsider's point of view. We do it to the Jets. We did it to Leberfeld when we had him on. Dan, come on. These guys are tanking, right? I mean, Josh McCown, veteran leadership. Blah, blah, blah. We had to get rid of the old guys. We need to bring
danger,
you guys.
Danger. The premise of that article was that the Bills are tanking because they let three of their top four receivers go. Marquise Goodwin. Ooh, Justin Hunter. Ooh. Okay, I mean, all these moves we agree with.
I think to say that Zay Jones is an upgrade from Robert Woods is not factual. Robert Woods isn't better receiver
than Zay
Jones.
That doesn't mean they're tanking, though. Zach Brown, ooh, they let go their leading tackler. Zach Brown was on the market forever and a day.
Yes, but you haven't seen Reggie Ragland play a whiff. You don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty with this team. And like I mentioned before, a paper-thin, you don't have depth. There's not a lot of margin for error. Injuries could really, really hurt this team in a big way very quickly this season.
Well, the depth will come over time. Chris Terpasso. Chris, I'm sorry. Sometimes we get into these sports arguments here. Chris is the judge here between us and the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Part of this, too, and where does this really stem from? Well, we all love the NFL draft. And boy, oh boy, I'll say this. I don't think I've ever looked forward to a draft this early. You wrote an article for CBS Sports already laying out the top 100 prospects of next year. So, Chris, I know we've done a little bit of homework on this. You know, give us a little bit for our draft appetite here. If the Bills have two first-round picks next year, give us a quarterback or two. We know Darnold. Give us some of the other names for the draft next year that could the Buffalo Bills be in a position for.
All right, I'll start with saying this. It kind of seems to be conventional wisdom now that we all understand around this time, it's always next year's quarterback class is better than last year's. And then guys like Matt Barkley fall off, or, you know, even someone like Sam Darnold that has a great freshman or sophomore year doesn't really live up to the hype. And then we get around to March and April, and that quarterback class is maybe not as good as we thought 6 or 7 months ago. But I really do think this class coming up has the potential to not just have, maybe there's not an Andrew Luck in this next year's class, but there is more, there's more depth in terms of, I think you could see a few quarterbacks go in the first round and then quality quarterbacks that can be franchise quarterbacks go in the second round. The guy beyond Darnold, who was the big name after his, you know, amazing stretch late last season for USC, Oklahoma State's Mason Rudolph. He's going to be a senior. He's pretty much the anti-Sam Darnold in that Darnold, the only knock really on him is that he doesn't have a lot of starting experience. He's going to only be a redshirt sophomore next year. Mason Rudolph is going to be a senior. He's already thrown a ton of passes at Oklahoma State. He had 28 touchdowns to only 4 interceptions last year. And there's no concerns about his size or his arm strength. He has a huge arm. He's 6'5". About 220, 230 pounds. He's not really Cam Newton, but he will stand stoically in the pocket. He's a pocket passer, has some athleticism, and certainly playing in the Big 12, defense is kind of optional, so I think some of his statistics will kind of be skewed a little bit. But just even watching him last year and then doing some research, actually, after this year's draft, he just looks the part, kind of looks like Matt Ryan to a certain degree. So he would be the guy beyond the Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, and Sam Darnold. He's kind of flying under the radar, but I think he'll check a lot of boxes.
Chris, what about on the defensive side of the ball? Some of these prospects that are out there in your top 100?
I think Derwin James out of Florida State. We saw Jalen Ramsey go in the top 5 a few years ago. Kind of a corner safety prospect. Derwin James is actually bigger than Jalen Ramsey. I think he's going to test as well athletically. As a freshman, he had over 90 tackles, and these were not Coe Simpson, 15 yards down the field, Dante Whitner type tackles. These were impact tackles, most of them. Got hurt last year, but I think he's in for a huge 2017. He's someone that, you know, with the Bills kind of looking to rebuild their secondary slowly but surely, and could be looking at a safety corner prospect Florida State has, you know, a loaded secondary, and it'll kind of just depend on where Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean want to look early. But I would probably start with Florida State and a lot of those teams in the and at the top of the ACC.
Chris Trapasso, already we're talking about the 2018 NFL draft, and it's relevant because the Bills have two first-round picks. And when you do your top 100 here, Sam Darnold checks in at number two. Tell us a little bit about Arden Key, the defensive end from LSU.
Arden Key is not Myles Garrett yet, but I honestly think if he is bulked up like he apparently or reportedly is, he can be as good of a prospect, if not better. Because when you watch him at 6'5", 6'6", and only about 230 or 240 pounds, which is pretty light for being that tall, his explosion off the line is really, really impressive. I think when you looked at Myles Garrett, you know, at the combine, he was 6'4", 274. He just looked like a 4'3 defensive end. There was really nothing wrong with him as a prospect in terms of his athleticism and his film. Arden Key, though, I think is more explosive off the snap. Showed once in a while some pass rushing moves that I think by his third season at Texas A&M, Myles Garrett kind of developed. So I think if Arden Key is 6'6 and 250, 260 and bulked up, he has the potential, and that's why I had him number one, to be that, you know, first overall pick, that game-changing defensive end at the next level.
Well, Chris, we all know the New York Jets are going to go quarterback at number one with the overall first overall pick in the 2018.
They're going 0-16, Danger?
Yeah.
Jets?
Yeah. No, listen, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but seriously, I'm a doomsday prepper in that I can't imagine what life is like if the Bills lose week one to the New York Jets. Chris, have you even let that thought enter your mind going into this season?
I haven't, and I feel like we talked about this last time I was on, that talk about tanking. If the Bills lose at home to, let's say, the Christian Hackenberg-led Jets.
Oh, God.
Man, yeah. Then the Bills would maybe want to try to look into that and try to secure a top three or top five pick. I mean, you really could not ask these schedule makers to give you a juicier game at home to start the season against the Jets, a team that, and I'm not totally against teams for maybe kind of tanking a little bit, but that's, you know, when you look at the Bills roster and then look at the Jets roster, and I'm not saying that the Bills have the best roster in the AFC, but the Jets have holes everywhere, and I don't really know how their offensive line, their just offense in general, is going to be able to operate for them to score more than 14 points a game.
There's one quarterback situation that hasn't completely settled out there, Chris, and I turn my attention to Washington here. What, how do you think this all plays out? The Kirk Cousins stare down here, is he going to get traded to San Francisco at some point? Is he walking to free agency? What's your read on the situation?
Well, I guess at this point, with just covering the NFL for the past 10 years, that most of the time, unless there's some weird health fiasco like we had with Peyton Manning in 2012, really good quarterbacks don't usually hit the free agent market. And the only thing is that in Washington, I think that's a front office that's the most dysfunctional in the entire league, that President Bruce Allen, because of his dad kind of, or his reputation, kind of got that president job and never really liked any GM, any coach to have any more power than he did. And that's why I think we saw Scott get fired, and he was doing a great job as the GM there. I think Kirk Cousins will eventually get traded because I think, again, I think that front office, they really like to have their team be known as the Bruce Allen and the Dan Snyder Washington Redskins. They don't like anyone to have any more power, publicity, notoriety than them. But I, for as much as I think that most good franchise quarterbacks do not hit the open market, I think with the Kyle Shanahan connection in San Francisco, I don't really see any quarterback on their roster that, you know, anything for the long-term future. So it wouldn't surprise me if at some point he gets traded. I don't think the Washington Redskins will just let him hit free agency and get rid of Kirk Cousins for nothing. So if he's not on the roster, I think he will be traded and they'll get something in return for him.
Chris, Stafford's going to be the highest paid player in the NFL going into training camp, will he not?
I think he will, and it's crazy with Matt Stafford because he was one of the last quarterbacks before the rookie wage scale kicked in and signed like a six-year, $72 million deal as a rookie before he played a snap. Then he signed like a three-year extension for $53 million, and now he's going to sign this other huge contract. He's only 29 years old, so he is probably going to own an NFL team at some point on this rate.
If you're Bill Belichick, why not just retire to Nantucket and be with your nice girlfriend?
No, you're talking about the cover of Nantucket Magazine,
Nantucket Magazine.
Yes. Chris, did you see the photo shoot?
I did, and it was very not what I was expecting from Bill Belichick. It kind of looked like a romantic comedy cover movie or something. It was weird.
You can say it. It was a boner killer. What is that thing? I mean, what am I looking at here?
He's a man in love, Danger. On Nantucket.
The worst Cialis ad I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is where Chris is like going to be like, okay, glad I came on today.
Chris, we talked to you like this because we could see that you're a friend. Regular guest on the show here in the sports bar. Chris Trapasso, BuffaloRumblings.com. Chris, we will be seeing you in person here probably in just a few weeks as training camp opens up. Looking forward to that. Hope you enjoy your long holiday weekend. Appreciate your time as always, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
You got it. Chris Trapasso. BuffaloRumblings.com is where you can read his work. Great web, great website, required reading always for Buffalo Bills fans.
Yeah, and I would encourage, you know, this is the long weekend coming up, and usually it's a time where I'd like to start reading about fantasy, but to me, with the 2018 draft being so interesting this year, and Chris kind of threw out the disclaimer there, hey, we always think the draft is more interesting, but this year... Yeah, you do have the potential to have five guys go really up high as far as quarterbacks. Chris Trapasso has his breakdown of the top 200 prospects that on CBSSports.com. So appreciate his time today to help explain it to us.
All right, if you missed any of our conversation with Chris Trapasso, we'll have that up in online for you and on demand at the all-new ESPN Rochester.com. Shortly next in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia, we go around the NFL, the biggest stories out of the league today. An NFL owner's Twitter got hacked, Gene.
Yeah.
Another hack. Twitter.
Let me just slip this in, too. The Wings have made it 13 of 15. That's gone final. Rochester 5, Buffalo 4. So now the Wings just 7 out.
Good stuff.
Have some tickets later on to give away, too.
Should we do that now?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it now. Caller 5, 454 ESPN. The Wings are hot, and they're going to be in town on the 4th of July. Fireworks, family, food. And your red-hot Rochester Red Wings, caller 5-454-ESPN. We'll get you a four-pack of tickets to see the Wings at Frontier Field on Tuesday. Call now. Good luck. NFL appetizers on the way next. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.